Welcome to Work Mom Says,
Don't Be an Idiot.
And now, here's your host, Work Mom.
Hello, everybody. It's Lori Jo Vest, and it's time for Work Mom Says, Don't Be an Idiot. And this is our 10th episode. I'm so excited. When I first started putting this together about, it's been 18 months, I think, or more, the person who we were working with said, allow yourself to suck for the first 10 episodes, because that's how long it takes to really figure out if you're doing something, you know, with what you're doing, how you're going to do it, what it's going to look like, what's going to get your audience's attention. And what's really funny about that is it's taken me a lot longer to get to the 10th episode, but I think we have figured it out. I think the context that we're looking at moving forward is to have a leader on with a young professional. Randy adds color commentary, the audio dude. And we really dive deep into these discussions. So today we're going to talk with our guest, Jan Griffiths and Kelly Caesar. Did I get that right, Kelly?
Caesar, but close enough.
Caesar. Okay. I'm going to introduce each of our guests and they'll tell you a little bit more about themselves. So let's talk about Jan. Jan, I met Jan on LinkedIn. I saw this photo she had up. I knew people who knew her, but I'd never seen her before. And she had some awesome photography done where she just looks fierce. And she's got this red and black background and this wild silver spiky hair and, you know, leather jacket and boots. And she just looked like a badass. And then as I started to follow her, I noticed she was doing this thing called Accountability Lab. And since our topics for today are accountability and getting shit done, I thought of Jan first. I had to get her on. So Jan, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, it's great to be here, Lori Jo, and congratulations. You do know that most podcasts don't make it past the 7th episode.
Yes.
So you have broken a huge milestone in the world of podcasting. So congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I'm Jan, and I am indeed that rebellious farmer's daughter from Wales. I grew up in Wales, and I came to this country at age 23. I started my career in the automotive industry, my beloved automotive industry that we know and love in the Detroit area. And I worked for various different auto companies, and my career progressed. Now, I was supposed to grow up and marry the farmer next door, but I didn't want to do that because, number one, he wasn't that cute. And number two, I wanted more out of my life. I wanted to take on the world. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a mentor or all the things that we have today. I just had this burning desire to want to take on the world. And I started working for BorgWarner Automotive, a good American auto supplier, and they transferred me to Muncie, Indiana. Which we could do a whole episode on my first few weeks in Muncie, Indiana, I'll tell you that.
I can't imagine. I cannot even fathom what kind of a culture shock that would have been.
Wow. Try telling the president of the local union. I thought that his jacket that said like local 285 or whatever it was, I said, what radio station's that then?
Oh no.
Yeah. I was very, very, very naive, very green. I was a Welsh farmer's daughter. I grew up in a small town, right? So here I am in the big metropolis of Muncie, Indiana. Fast forward about 3 decades in the automotive industry, worked my way through various positions in supply chain, purchasing, sales, program management, manufacturing, moved around a little bit, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Iowa. I actually stepped out of automotive for a year and worked for Maytag and got my dream job. I was in the C-suite that I had worked so hard to get my entire life. $3 billion auto company, made it, loved it. Got the house in Birmingham. What do they say? Got the T-shirt, got it, right? Great. Our life is great. Right.
Yeah.
But I was bored. I felt the life force draining out of me in this role that I'd worked so hard to get. So I quit. And I took my salary to zero overnight by design, my choice, and I started this business. And oh, do I love this business. My business is all about helping people unleash the potential that I know everybody has. I help people create high performance teams. And that could be a team of people or it could be individuals. And that's, of course, how Laurie, you and I are interacting on the Accountability Lab. But I help people find gravitas, which is the hallmark of authentic leadership. And that's me in a nutshell. And I love AC/DC, and that's why you see the black and red. And yes, I am a bit of a rocker chick, and I like black leather jackets and spiky boots. And my boyfriend is a bass player. So there.
Wow.
There you go.
I knew Randy was going to like that. I knew he'd like was holding that one.
Randy's a drummer. So on to Kelly. Kelly Caesar is someone I worked with for a good year and a half probably on different projects. And I'm excited to have her here. Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing and include some of those career highlights, how long you've been in business. Kelly's our young professional, so I want to kind of hear what she's got going on.
Yeah, so I don't have the great accent that Jan has, unfortunately. I was born and raised here in Metro Detroit, Michigan. So not from Wales or have that tale of a farmer's daughter. But I'm born and raised here in Michigan. You know, been in the business for about 10 years now. I'm currently the director of marketing for Centria Healthcare out of Farmington Hills. You know, after college, I did break out and make my way to the West Coast, lived in LA for a couple of years, you know, and that's where I really started my career, and I've been in all different kinds of industries. I've been in, you know, celebrities and managing their PR for celebrities and sport professional athletes. I've created marketing campaigns for Fortune 500 companies. I've built out Salesforce, which is kind of like a big sales engine, as well as marketing automation strategies for mortgage companies. And now I'm running the day-to-day of a marketing department for a healthcare company. So tapped in every different industry and area of marketing that I think you could possibly do in the little of 10 years. So definitely seen a lot.
I don't want to focus on her age, but Kelly, what are you, 26, 27?
27.
27 and has just so much experience. So I knew that she was a good person to have on this show. So today we're going to dig into accountability and getting things done. So accountability is something I always seem to be chasing. It's always something that's easier to do for someone else than it is for yourself. I mean, we will, if we promise someone we'll do something for them, we're more likely to do it than if we just make a promise to ourselves. There's all these little tips and tricks we can use. I have a quote that I put out here that I want to go through real quick because it's so telling. And it's one of those things that really got my attention, that you either hold yourself accountable or you will be made accountable by your circumstances. And I am going to talk about this guy, Benjamin Hardy. I bring him up a lot, that does a lot of emotional intelligence work and goal setting and reaching your goals, just amazing things that he does. And he has a future self program. But he, when I first started paying attention to his goal, you know, reaching your goals focused work, he said that basically you are in the situation you are currently in because you've tolerated it and you're just living with the decisions you've made. So you are where you've led yourself to be. And if you want to go to a different place, you need accountability. It's a huge part of what he teaches. So Jan, knowing that you started the Accountability Lab, would you tell us a little bit more about it and how do you, as someone who is, you know, dedicating a percentage of your day every day to help other people stay accountable, how do you define it?
Yeah, it's a good question, right? When you first hear the word accountability, I don't know if it's my background over the years in automotive manufacturing, right? But I get this feeling of some gnarly dude in a manufacturing plant with his finger pointing at me going, I'm going to hold you accountable if you don't get that done, little lady, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's sort of the image that I have, right, of accountability. It never feels good to me. Right, because it's this idea of somebody holding you accountable. Translation, I'm going to blame you if something goes wrong. Right, there's a big difference between accountability and blame. And what I like to focus on is accountability in the future sense, in the positive sense. Because when you talk about it in the past, then it tends to be more of a blame culture. And we definitely don't want that. That would go against all the principles of authentic leadership, which is what I believe in. When you talk about accountability in the future, you're talking about, okay, how can I make a commitment not only to myself, but to others? And what's stopping me from doing that? What's the narrative that's going on in my head? What stories am I telling myself? What excuses am I giving myself that I can't hold true to very simple commitments? And it starts when you go to bed at night, you say, I'm going to set the alarm for 5 a.m. or, you know, in my case, 4:20 a.m. Right?
You crazy.
I know. Yeah. Well, yeah. You didn't get that by now. Of course I'm crazy.
You need to sleep in. It's much easier on your constitution.
I do sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I do sometimes. But yes. you tell yourself you're going to do something, right? And what do you do when you get up in the morning? You hit the snooze button or you say, oh, I just don't feel it today or blah, 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 blah. You make
I'll
an
do
excuse.
It tomorrow.
Right. You make an excuse to yourself, right? Well, think about how you're talking to yourself in your head. What is that narrative? So I think it starts with how you talk to yourself in your head. And then I'm a firm believer in, and I'm a believer in this. I'm not such a good practitioner of this. And that is to set small incremental steps of improvement, small goals every day to get to something great. If you put these big goals on yourself, like we talked about Orange Theory, the gym, right? I used to say, I'm going to go to Orange Theory 5 days a week. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the unlimited membership. I'm doing it. And then I would beat myself up, right? Because I didn't do it. That's not good. It's much better to say, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment to go twice a week and make it happen. That's Absolutely. Accountability. And it's different for everybody. There's no cookie cutter approach to it. And so at the beginning of the pandemic, I started a group of people to get together every morning at 6:30 all throughout the pandemic. And we still do it. As you know, that lab starts before the lab that you're in. And we make three commitments, one for a work task that we typically procrastinate on, one for a personal life, whether it's go for a walk, yoga, and then a word to declare our mindset. And you are 85% more likely to achieve something when you make a commitment to others. And that, my friend, is accountability.
Yeah, it's huge, you guys. I love this morning accountability thing. I had been searching for different types of accountability tools. And I've had mastermind groups where you met every 2 weeks and you set goals. And, you know, I wrote a book back in 2008 because I was in a masterminds group where I told them I wanted to write a book. And in a masterminds group, every time you get together, they'll ask you, how's your book? And you better be working on it, you know? And so, but it was every 2 weeks. And the pandemic came and it got a little harder. And I saw Jan's accountability lab and we literally all get on that call at 6:30, there's one, mine's at 7:07, bedhead and all. Sometimes we have really good bedhead, you know, we'll be like, oh, mine's better than yours, Jan, you know, and we make those commitments. And it's changed my life. That daily accountability has really changed how I do things. So what do you guys think? I want to open this, Kelly and Randy, too. Why do you think it's so hard to be accountable to yourself? So Kelly, you're one of those people that I have watched you reach those goals so fast. And I also know that when you go on out-of-town trips where you're busting your butt 24 hours a day, you still find time to run. How do you do that? How do you reach so many of your career goals so quickly? And I mean, how do you do that? Because you're really moving a lot faster than a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely comes down to motivation. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is like my parents and how I was raised, right? My parents pushed me into taking college classes when I was a high school junior. So I had my whole freshman year and sophomore year of college done by the time I graduated high school. And so like that just kind of progressed me in my career. And I had to grow up a little bit faster, learn to make decisions a little bit faster. And it held me accountable at such a young age that like I was motivated to keep doing that. And I think once you hit goals or like once you have that motivation and you're kind of continuing down that path, similar to like what you said, when you get on your Peloton for 5 minutes, and then you're like, oh, I can just keep going. It's that same thing. It kind of becomes, you have a hunger for that next thing, that next goal that you're trying to reach because you're motivated by it and you're interested in it. And I think that's why I've reached so many career goals and so many personal goals so quickly. And it's because I'm motivated and I'm hungry for that next challenge. Mm-hmm. And I want to succeed. I have that motivation to succeed and be ambitious and put the work in for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of people. It's really interesting that if you are surrounded by high performers, it elevates your performance, which is what I see on Accountability Lab too. I see that where we're all doing things and some of us are doing really big things and some of us are struggling with really tiny things, but it being in a group like that, and especially high achievers like that. Did you go to high school or college that had, you know, where'd you go to college?
I went to Central Michigan. So,
oh, I went to Central Michigan too. So do you have any tools you use daily? I'm going to ask this of both Jan and Kelly. What tools do you use to keep yourself going, to keep yourself, you know, focused on those things?
So I actually create a game day list. And this is probably competitive in nature. So triathlete and all here. So I create a game day list and it's five things that are priority. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of it, but Eisenhower's matrix, where it's like important, unimportant, urgent, and not urgent. And I focus on those things that are in, there's four quadrants. There's do, plan, delegate, and eliminate. And I live in that do section. And anything that's on my do section for that day, whether it's personal or professional, it goes on my list of five things. And if I get those five things done, I win the day. So I actually write win on my little game plan sheet. And if I lose, I put a big L and some of those things have to get carried over to the next day. And it's that accountability that I'm holding myself to, because I know my mindset of a competitor, that if I have that L, I'm more likely to like work harder to get that stuff done. And I think that also like the game day, how I do the game day list is like, some of those things are the hard things that I don't want to do. I'm not putting like send an email to Lori Jo on my game day list. I'm putting like create a month worth of content to post on social media. So like that's my game day list. It's not like those simple day-to-day tasks that everyone has to do. It's those bigger things that we all procrastinate on. So I'm holding myself accountable every day to making sure I'm winning by doing those harder tasks.
That is really interesting. And it's again, Jan, I don't think she needs Accountability Lab, do you?
I know.
I think she's got it.
I think she could run it. I think she could run it. If I'm going on vacation, Kelly, can you run it for me, please?
Yeah, I would love to. I love leather jackets. I love spiky boots. I'll just like need to throw on a wig. I'll practice my accent. We'll be good.
I'll get you a gray spiky wig.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I love it.
Okay, so that's our accountability section. Now we're going to move on to getting shit done. If you're new to your career, you know, basically, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years out of college, you may not have developed a system for being organized like Kelly has, her game day and her, what is it, Eisenhower?
Eisenhower matrix, yeah.
Eisenhower matrix. I'm going to go figure that out as soon as we're done here. But there's a system, there's a guy, an author that wrote a book which turned into a system, which turned into a movement called Getting Things Done. I wish I could remember his name. I'll put it in the commentary about this on the website. But he basically says your brain is not for holding information. It's for creating ideas. And I think that's why creative people, sometimes it's really a struggle to get things done because you got idea, 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 idea. And that's really where what I want to do is just ideate creative things because it's so much more fun. But Chris Brogan, this is really funny because Chris Brogan's another guy I talk about a lot. It's funny because I have an issue sometimes with being distracted, of course, because one of the things I do all day is social media. So it's really easy to get distracted, really easy to wander off and onto Twitter. Two things that I've heard about that to keep you from doing that. One is Jan always says, make a don't do list, make a list of things that you don't do. And that really helps because you find yourself doing something that you don't do, you stop and go back to what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just that I prioritize it just as much as I prioritize my professional goals. So, and that's kind of goes to say with like everything. So if you have drive and you have motivation, in whatever you're doing, that's like the key to being successful at it. You know, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, or at least have the drive to be successful in what you're doing, you're going to like let it slack, and you're not going to focus on it, and you're not going to make it a priority for yourself. So that's like, I would say that's the biggest thing, is that maybe I don't enjoy working, you know, 12 hours a day and then dragging myself to the gym to train, but I'm committed to it because that's the commitment I made to myself. And I know, Jan, you kind of talked about that earlier with like holding yourself accountable, and people can't necessarily do that. But I think it's when you have that motivation and you have that drive to accomplish something and you want to achieve it, if you're hungry enough for it, you're going to go after it. I think that's kind of like how I've seen myself. Like, I have pretty much like worked 24 hours, 7 days a week at one point, in an agency setting. And, you know, and I was running all of the clients at one point, you know, lone man. And I think that it changed my perspective of like, I also need to make time for myself and putting that personal life ahead of things. It's actually, I know we're going to get on this in later on, but it's one of my business stories, lessons learned. But, you know, when you're going about something and you have kind of like that relaxed, laissez-faire attitude, you're not going to be as proactive with it. And that's kind of how I approach things. Is like, if I'm not that invested in it, then it's probably not worth my time. So it goes into that eliminate category of Eisenhower's matrix. And so, I mean, that's really how I live my life, is like through that matrix of like, if I'm looking at my ongoing, ever growing list of tasks, whether it's personal or professional, if it's on that list of like, man, I'm really not invested in it, and I'm not interested, and I'm not motivated by it, then why am I putting my time and energy towards that? And that's same thing with like when it comes to a work-life balance.
See, now I didn't even think about that aspect. The prioritizing is such a huge part of productivity. Mm-hmm. And we do it every day unknowingly, but knowing what to put where. Jan, talk about that a little bit, because I know you often train leaders and coach people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, Kelly's right. There's a big distinction between the urgent and the important, right? And the important really allows you to gain traction on what's really important and move you forward, right? So it is that bigger project. The urgent is exactly that. It's the stuff that's in front of you right away. And we have a tendency as human beings to want to cross those things off the list because we get a dopamine hit when we do it. So it hits the reward function in the brain, right? And we're like, oh, I can just check off these little things, right? And that's going to make me feel good. And if you start your day like that, you're dead. You're done. Because once you start, you'll get distracted. And then by the time you get to the afternoon, your mind is not as, how do I say this? It's not as strong. You know, you've got to keep your guard up to stop the distractions. It's much easier to focus in the morning, for me certainly, than it is in the afternoon. It's easier for the distractions, you've heard me talk about the demon of distraction, to get a hold of me in the afternoon. So scheduling in the morning those things that are important, that are going to really move you forward, that's what it's all about to me, to gain traction on my goals. And I have a hard time with it too. I get distracted too, right? And then the other thing I do is I move the apps that are my biggest demons of distraction. I move them off the homepage on my phone. So if I have to take another action, like actually swipe to get to them, I'm not seeing them. I don't see that little red bubble all the time that just says, come on, there's something in you. Come on, take a look.
Somebody wants to talk to you. Oh yeah. It'll drive you nuts. And the other thing that Jan recommends we do in Accountability Lab is to actually not have to-do lists. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, to-do lists are evil, right? Because of that exact reason. Because if you have a really long to-do list, you will want to knock off the little stuff first. And then you'll never show me the person that does absolutely everything on their to-do list every day, every week. They don't exist. If they do, they're a robot. We're not robots. We're human beings. We're meant to live in a more creative space, right? So why have a to-do list that makes you feel bad about yourself for not doing it? I don't like that. I don't want to feel bad. I like Kelly's approach because she targets five things and then it's a win. It's a win for her, right? She feels good about the day. And with the accountability lab, I want people to do two things. One work task, which falls typically into the important section, and then one thing for your overall well-being. Do those two things, hold the right mindset, you can win the day.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that Jan suggests too that I found really helpful is to take your to-do list, what you would normally put on a to-do list, and put it on your calendar.
Yeah, time blocking.
Calendar out those tasks.
Yeah, time blocking is huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It really makes a difference.
Yeah.
So a couple more questions before we wrap up. Do either of you have any kind of suggestions on what a leadership team should do to help their team members be more productive?
Well, I will tell you, I will cite Google, Project Aristotle in 2012. They studied high performance teams, right? So they said, okay, well, where's the pattern? We're Google. We know patterns, right? That's what we do. We know data and patterns. And they looked for a pattern. They couldn't find the pattern and it drove them nuts. And what they found was the number one criteria of a high performance team is psychological safety. So creating a safe space for people to work in is the number one factor. The second is clarity of vision. And both Randy talked about, I think you said desire, and Kelly talked a lot about motivation. All of those two things are wrapped around purpose and vision. There has to be an emotional connection to the goal. And if leaders can do that, of course, there's a whole bunch of other things, and I have 21 traits of authentic leadership I could talk about, which I won't do right now. But if they could do those two things and just be nice and be comfortable in their own skin, wow, would the world be a better place to work in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of, I find a lot of leaders' egos get in the way of being able to provide that safe space, and that emotional safety allows people to, you know, to feel like they're contributing, to be themselves, to bring their best selves to work, to not have drama. One of the reasons we do this podcast is because I don't want young professionals to have to experience so much drama and so much craziness. And if you have a control on your emotions, and you know, you understand that business is basically an emotional contact sport, you're going to get further because you're going to be able to put your head down and focus and not be subject to all the crazy things that happen around you, because crazy things do happen, that's for sure. So we're going to wrap up on getting shit done. And I have a question for everybody at the end of every episode. We're going to start doing this. I'm excited. So what's the most important business lesson you've learned and how did you learn it? Kelly, you said you alluded to a story. Go ahead and tell it.
Yeah. So, and this kind of goes back to, I think you quoted it in the beginning. You are in the situation you're currently in because you've tolerated it and you're living with the decisions you made along the way. And that kind of ties into my lesson very well. So I've learned kind of the hard way that no one is going to put a work-life balance in place for you unless you do that yourself. So my story where I learned this lesson is, I was brought into a company to build out their Salesforce marketing automation system. While this whole thing is going on, it's about like a 5-month process, a really long time to build it all out. Now as the point person, I was running the whole thing. And when it comes to launch day, it keeps getting pushed back like a big project normally does in a company. And when the actual launch day came along, it happened to be the day after a triathlon I was running in across the country in California. So what ended up happening, because I was so invested and so motivated by both of these things, I made that commitment that I was going to make both work. And so I flew out, competed in my race, and then I took the red eye back home, drove straight from the airport back to the office to launch this project. Was I burnt out? Completely. Was I exhausted? Yes. Did I eat a whole box of Trix cereal at the office and carried it around like a little kid? Definitely. I did do that.
I love that.
But I was prioritizing both my personal and work life, and they were competing with one another. And was it ideal? No, but I powered through. And that's when I kind of learned that lesson that no one's going to put those barriers and boundaries in place unless I'm prioritizing it for myself. So that's one of the biggest lessons I learned, is that no one's in the business world as transparent as, you know, as great as leaders are in the business world, no one's really looking out for you except for you. And if you're not putting those boundaries in place, there are people in the business world that are going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's funny because I find out I have that I experience that with clients, with our small agency, and people will push. It's just a matter of boundaries. And when I just put up nice boundaries, then I don't have the emotional up and down that you can get when you don't put up boundaries and you're trying to fight against boundaries that you never set. So yeah. That's a whole nother episode of Work Mom Says. So, Randy, what's the most important business lesson you've learned, and how did you learn it?
How do you know? It might be very, very bad. Whenever I'm asked something like that, I have to go into the Wayback Machine before I started this company. And I worked for somebody who was the devil incarnate. He was the worst possible kind of leader. He wasn't a leader. He was just a dictator. And he stole from his clients, and he treated his people very, very poorly. So the most valuable lesson I ever got was how not to do business. And that served me well for the 30 years that I ran RMS. I mean, I really tried to do the exact opposite of what this guy did. And it panned out beautifully. So
yeah.
you were talking about doing a don't do list. I made that up a long time ago. I'm not going to be mean to people. I'm not going to steal from people. I'm just going to be nice to people.
Yeah. Jan, your turn.
I think that I'm going to have to speak to recent experience because, you know, growing up in the corporate world, right, there's a million different stories out there and lessons. But I want to go to my more recent experience because being an entrepreneur is new to me. Marketing is a brand new skill to me. I'm learning marketing, right? As I'm building the business, I knew nothing about it. I've been in supply chain and purchasing and manufacturing. What do I know about marketing? And the one thing I've really learned is about clarity of message. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're marketing your business or yourself, or you're a leader leading a team. We just talked about accountability and motivation, and it's about that emotional connection. But it's also about making sure that you galvanize the team around that message and having clarity of that message. And I've learned that, you know, my message, quite frankly, for my business when I started was too broad. It wasn't clear to people exactly what I did. And I thought, you're afraid, right? You're afraid to narrow it down because you're like, well, you know, maybe I could do that. I don't know. I don't want to narrow it down. And I know I'm talking to two marketing people here. You're going, oh yeah, we get all that stuff. And you know where I'm coming from. But it took me a while to learn that lesson. I mean, I'd like to think I've got it now, and we just went through a massive upgrade on the website. But I think it's probably a process that you should never actually feel like you've got it. Because if you get complacent, you're gonna lose it, right? You should always strive to clarify the message, to keep clarifying the message, to keep clarifying it and keep going and keep going and keep going. So that's my biggest lesson. And it's very personal because it's my business. And now I'm not used to having a business. It's only been, let's see, what is it, like 3 years now in July that I've left the corporate world. So that's my lesson. I do have some juicy stories, but that's again for another day, Laurie Jo.
Thank you, everybody. And thanks for joining us. If you're a listener, do me a favor and subscribe to Work Mom Says Don't Be an Idiot on your favorite podcast platform. You can also listen on my website at workmomsays.com. I have a contact form there that will let you tattle on your boss. I have some really good stories that I can't tell for at least another couple of years. And if you have questions you'd like us to answer, stories you want to share, guests you'd like to suggest, people that you think would be amazing guests, please submit that on my website. And thanks again. We will talk to you again soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Work Mom Says
Don't Be an Idiot.
For more information, you can email Work Mom at LORIWorkMomSays.com. That's Lori at WorkMomSays.com. And remember,
don't be an idiot.